just need a little hope.
You're listening to Radio CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal, or online at ckut.ca.
Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Senate Republicans voted unanimously Monday to block a House-approved bill that would fund the federal government and raise the ceiling on the national debt. The vote came just days before a September 30th deadline to avert a government shutdown. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said Republicans' actions were threatening to plunge the U.S. into a recession.
Our country is staring down the barrel of two totally Republican-manufactured disasters, a government shutdown and a first-ever default on the national debt. The impacts of both would gravely harm every single American in this country.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has notified Congress that unless it acts before mid-October to raise the debt ceiling, the U.S. government will default on its debts. Arizona Democratic Senator Kyrsten Sinema has scheduled to hold a fundraiser today with five business lobbying groups that oppose a massive spending bill containing some of the Biden administration's top legislative priorities. That's according to the New York Times, which reports those in attendance are being asked to write checks for up to $5,800 to Senator Sinema's campaign. She says she opposes the spending bill's price tag of $3.5 trillion. Over 10 years, the legislation would increase taxes on wealthy individuals and corporations in order to expand the social safety net, improve worker rights, and combat the climate crisis. Sinema's support is critical to Democrats' plans to use a budget reconciliation bill to pass the legislation in the evenly divided Senate. Jurors in the federal trial against accused sexual predator and trafficker R. Kelly, a famous R&B singer, found him guilty Monday of charges including racketeering based on sexual exploitation of children, kidnapping, forced labor, and sex trafficking. Nearly a dozen survivors and over 30 other witnesses detailed R. Kelly's pattern of sexual and other abuse against dozens of women and underage girls for nearly two decades. It's a landmark verdict for the Me Too movement. After headlines, we'll speak with Dream Hampton, executive producer of the six-part documentary series Surviving R. Kelly. She broke open the case. The United States reported nearly 2,400 new COVID-19 deaths on Monday, even as hospitalizations continued to decline from a peak in early September. President Biden publicly received a booster shot of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine Monday, just days after federal regulators authorized third doses for immunocompromised people, frontline workers, and people age 65 and older. Biden, who is 78 years old, received his third injection in a White House event where he called on tens of millions of eligible U.S. residents to get vaccinated.
Over 77% of adults have gotten at least one shot. About 23% haven't gotten any shots. And that distinct minority is causing an awful lot of us, an awful lot of damage for the rest of the country.
Here in New York, thousands of hospital and nursing home workers rushed to get their first COVID-19 shots ahead of a vaccine mandate deadline at midnight Monday. New York health officials say the late surge means at least 92% of healthcare workers have received at least one dose. Those who've refused face unpaid leaves of absence or termination. New York Governor Kathy Hochul said she's prepared to deploy the National Guard to help fill any staffing shortages.
Today is a significant deadline. It reflects my priority to stop this virus dead in its tracks. We are over it. We are done. We want to move on. And the only way we can do that is to ensure that everyone is vaccinated, but particularly individuals who are taking care of the people who are sick.
On Monday, a three-judge federal appeals court panel ruled New York City may proceed with a vaccine mandate for nearly all public school workers. Top officials in the Trump administration's Central Intelligence Agency discussed kidnapping and assassinating WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange while he took refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy in London in 2017. That's according to an explosive new exposé in Yahoo News, which cites over 30 former officials. They describe how then-CIA Director Mike Pompeo sought revenge over WikiLeaks' publication of sensitive CIA hacking tools called Vault 7, which the agency considered the largest data loss in CIA history. Later in the broadcast, we'll speak with Mike Isikoff, chief investigative correspondent for Yahoo News, and human rights attorney Jennifer Robinson, who's been advising Julian Assange and WikiLeaks since 2010. The International Criminal Court's lead prosecutor said Monday he's seeking approval to resume his investigation into war crimes committed in Afghanistan by the Taliban and the militant group ISIS-K. Notably absent from the ICC statement was any mention of alleged war crimes committed by the United States, its allies, and the former U.S.-backed government in Kabul. Patricia Grossman of Human Rights Watch tweeted in response, "It seems there's no end to the betrayal of Afghans. Now, so many victims of torture and other abuses by U.S. and former Afghan government forces have been told there is no justice for you," she said. Meanwhile, the Taliban-appointed chancellor for Kabul University said Monday all women would be indefinitely barred from attending courses, either as professors or students. And Afghanistan's first of its kind women's driving school reports business has ground to a halt since the Taliban takeover in August.
Since the previous government collapsed, we have not registered a single new student. And also, no one has contacted us to get a registration. The previously admitted students are calling us and asking if they can join their classes, but they are worried about their security.
In Tunisia, over 100 senior officials with the country's largest political party have resigned, protesting President Kais Saied's ousting of the Tunisian prime minister and a suspension of parliament in July. Opponents are decrying an attempted coup after Saied gave himself executive authority. On Sunday, thousands of protesters gathered in the capital, Tunis, demanding Saied step down.
He's acting like he's the sun that is rising on the country. The general prosecutor, the president, the parliament, the government, like he is everything. Even his authority that revised the constitutional laws. It is like he is saying, "I am your God Almighty." That is what it means. No, this must be removed. The Tunisian people deserve better than this.
In immigration news, the Biden administration's issued a new rule that seeks to modify DACA. That's the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. In an effort to preserve and protect the temporary relief program from future legal challenges. This comes after a Texas federal judge in July struck down DACA, arguing the program exceeded President Obama's authority when it was created through executive action in 2012. July's ruling blocked new DACA applications. DACA has provided temporary protection from deportation and work authorization to some 800,000 undocumented people who were brought to the U.S. as children. Filmmaker Melvin Van Peebles, praised as the godfather of modern black cinema, died in New York last week at the age of 89. Peebles is best known for his iconic 1971 film Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song, which is credited with launching the blaxploitation movie genre. Peebles was also an actor, a novelist, a playwright, and composer. And prominent Native American filmmaker, journalist, and professor Myron Dewey died Sunday in a car crash in Nevada. He was 49 years old. Dewey was the founder of the media production company Digital Smoke Signals, which shared live footage from the front lines of the resistance to the Dakota Access Pipeline at Standing Rock. Democracy Now! Met Dewey in North Dakota in 2016 as he faced a misdemeanor stalking charge for using a drone to take video of unlicensed private pipeline security workers. Those charges would ultimately be dropped.
There's an arrest warrant for me stalking the Dakota Access Pipeline security, which these are the guys that had no badges, no names, no license plates. So it's a little intimidating when you see these guys looking like Navy SEALs in the back, you know, when you're traveling, when you're documenting. You know, I came as a filmmaker and digital storyteller, and I'm leaving now as an environmental justice filmmaker and journalist.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Sam's excited to see his favorite band play live. He's thought about it all week. He bought his ticket. He wore his band t-shirt. He went to the concert venue. He wasn't allowed inside the concert venue. He put away his band t-shirt. He threw away his ticket. And he thought about it all week.
Don't wait until it hits you. Get vaccinated. Beginning in September, you'll need a vaccination passport to enter certain public spaces. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday, there will be a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 14 degrees Celsius. Thursday, there will also be a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 16 degrees Celsius. Friday, there will be a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 15 degrees Celsius. Saturday, there will be the chance of a shower and a high of 15 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be mainly sunny with a high of 16 degrees Celsius. Monday will be mainly sunny with a high of 15 degrees Celsius. And finally, Tuesday will be mainly sunny with a high of 16 degrees Celsius.
next to you. So now there's only one thing left to do. Say yes, say yes, give me that guarantee. Say yes, say yes, I'm down here on one knee. And I'm telling you, I wanna love you more than you have ever known. Say yes, say yes, you'll never be alone. Been told that when I know I can't let you get away, and everything you are is proof to me that you have to stay. Cause every day you know you're meaning so much more to me, and in your eyes I see our future bright as our history. So picture it and say that you agree. And say yes, say yes, give me that guarantee. Say yes, say yes, I'm down here on one knee. And I'm telling you, I wanna love you more than you have ever known. Say yes, say yes, you'll never be alone. This ain't just some charade. Yeah, you know the promises we've made. Yeah, you know this love's been worth the wait. So you know the words you've got to say. You got to say, baby, baby, say yes, say yes. Give me that guarantee. Say yes, say yes, I'm down here on my knees and I'm begging you. Say that you love me more than you have ever known. Say yes, say yes, say yes, and you'll never be alone. And you'll never be
corner of Fifth and Main. Stolen shoes and highway blues, you found yourself alone. A wishful thinker, you may be stuck in your blindfolded eternity. There's no way back but the long road home. But you can hold your head up. High when the rain is coming, high when the rain is coming, high when the rain is falling, high when the rain is coming. From harm's way. The day I come back may be the day I run away. Was it the time that I played you? Or maybe the answers you feared? Was it the saint and the sinner sitting sideways on the floor? And oh, but you can hold. young and juvenile. Untamed footsteps for a while. I was lying with my head down low. Was it the hour or the moonlight minute? And only but you can hold your head up. How when the rain is falling, how when the rain is calling, how when the rain is falling, how when the rain is calling. Oh, but you can hold your head up.
Tuned in to the Wednesday Morning After Show with your host, Sheila Ferrando, and sound by Matthew Jackson on Radio CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal, or online at ckut.ca.
It's hard enough to protect us, yet it shatters with incredible ease. This week on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, we ask, how is glass made?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Hello and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized informative podcast designed to be listened to in the shower, but really, you can listen to it wherever you want.
The whole point of this podcast is we take the mysteries of the world and we debunk them in a bite-sized chunk.
Have you ever wondered if plants had feelings?
Or why we have a dominant hand?
Or where the idea of a three-course meal came from?
Or if pets name their owners?
If you've wondered any of those questions, you've come to the right place.
We've answered all of those questions on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, and we're about to answer one more.
Step into the shower with us as we explain how glass is made.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Do you know what, Taz? Glass has always fascinated me. Genuinely, it's really odd. Like, I remember, like, when I used to be a choir boy, like, fun fact, I was a choir boy.
How
there
brilliant
you go.
Is that? Marcus is a choir boy.
Bonus fact, yeah. I may be 6 foot tall and covered in hair and a husky dude, but I used to be a little choir boy. Like, I remember looking at the stained glass and, like, looking at really old glass, and it's always really interested me. And just like you said at the beginning of the episode, it's like something that's strong enough to protect you and give you shelter and still give you a window to the outside world that can still be so easily shattered. You know, it kind of has that superhero quality to it.
Absolutely. And what's more is that it's one of the oldest and most versatile human-created materials in the world.
Can't be that old. Like, how old are we talking?
Okay, well, to give you a little bit of a timeline, 3100 BC, the earliest...
Wait, 3100 BC.
BC, yeah.
Oh, like... What? Where? Go on, sorry.
So 3100 BC, the earliest glass artifacts were found in Egypt.
Oh my days, that's absolutely, that's like 5,000 years.
Whew. 5,000 years, I know.
I know, just for glass.
Mm-hmm.
And what about since then?
Okay, so since then, 650 BC, the first glass making manual was made. Assyrian Assurbanipal's library.
You nailed that one.
Did I do good? So glass-making manual was 650 BC. In 1 AD, so one after death. Is it after death?
Yeah. After the death of Christ.
Yeah, typically. after the death of Christ. 1 AD, the technique of blowing glass was invented in the Babylon area. Then moving on, in 1500, Angelo Barovero invented cristallo, clear, colourless glass. Moving on from that, 1690, William of Orange passed a law that lifted taxes on distilled spirits and encouraged development and expansion of this industry. And then it became extremely mainstream and widely used from then.
Funnily enough, when you said cristallo there, can I give you a little bonus fact?
Please.
Do you know why cristal champagne is called cristal?
No.
Because it's one of the only champagnes in the world that's served in a clear bottle. And the reason for that is because the Tsar of Russia, who was incredibly rich but also loved getting absolutely hammered on champagne, was afraid that somebody would hide an explosive device or some kind of poison trap in the bottom. Like, champagne bottles need a thick bottom.
Yeah.
In the thick, dark bottom of a champagne bottle. So he commissioned clear bottles to be made.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. There you go.
There's a little fact. And so to kind of get back to the question, like, you were throwing away around some amazing dates there. Like, going back to 3100 BC, like, I assume that because, you know, they weren't exactly, you know, they weren't going onto Google and asking how's glass made. Like, they're kind of like, they didn't really have many facilities to do this.
Right.
It must be kind of easy to produce. Is that fair? Is that a fair assumption to make?
That's the assumption, definitely. And of course, that would be the case. 3100 BC, there wasn't very much around.
Yeah.
But before we go into the production of glass, I suppose just a little bit of an explainer of what glass is.
Would I be right in guessing that it's kind of liquid sand?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So believe it or not, glass is made from liquid sand. You can make glass by heating just ordinary sand, which is mostly made of silicon dioxide, until it melts and turns into a liquid.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. It's like, I didn't know that, like, it was just normal sand. I thought it was maybe like a special VIP sand or something like that. Surely it has to be heated to like an insane temperature though. Otherwise, you know, we'd have fossilized beach bathers in our window panes and kind of...
Imagine,
you know,
if that happened in our window panes, there were remnants of sunglasses or buckets or spades or even starfish.
So come here, what temperatures are we talking for sand?
Okay, so sand melts, as you would imagine, at an extremely, extremely high temperature of 1,700 degrees Celsius, which is about 3,090 degrees Fahrenheit. So extremely warm.
That is hot.
When molten sand cools, it doesn't turn back into the gritty yellow stuff you started out with. It undergoes a complete transformation and gains an entirely different inner structure.
So by heating all these tiny grains and then cooling it, they kind of turn into a solid mass.
Sort of. It doesn't really matter how much you cool sand. It never quite sets into a 100% solid. Instead, it becomes a kind of frozen liquid, or what materials scientists refer to as an amorphous solid.
An amorphous solid?
Yeah, so an amorphous solid is like a cross between a solid and a liquid, with some of the crystalline order of a solid and some of the molecular randomness of a liquid.
So what do you call a food that's crossed between a solid and a liquid, with the crystalline order of solid and some of the molecular randomness of a liquid?
What?
An amorphous salad.
I don't get it.
It's an amorphous solid.
Oh, okay.
We'll be writing that out of the episode. So an amorphous solid is like both liquid and solid, but it's more solid than it is liquid. Is that kind of...
Correct.
Right,
so
okay.
Glass is an amorphous solid, and the reason it's such a popular material in our homes is because it has all kinds of really, really useful properties. Apart from being transparent, it's inexpensive to make, it's easy to shape when it's molten, reasonably resistant to heat when it's set.
Because the boiling point is obviously so high, it has a decent heat resistance.
Exactly. It's also chemically inert, which means it doesn't react to things.
Is that why, like, you can have a pint glass because it's not reacted to beer, or like a glass container because it's not reacting to jam or a preserved jellyfish or whatever you're putting into it?
Yeah, exactly. So it's chemically inert. It doesn't react to anything. And another absolute winner is that it can be recycled any number of times, and it's 100% recyclable.
It's 100%. Okay, so like compared to other materials which have to be filtered and everything, glass, you can just bang it back into a thing and it'll melt back.
It can be recycled a number of times, which is even better.
That's amazing. So glass is kind of a perfect material. Like, it's cheap to make, it's resistant, it's recyclable, it is reliable, it has a high boiling point, it's inert. We know it's made from sand, but how exactly is it made? Surely it's not carried out in the open. You know, you have to probably contain that kind of thing.
Well, actually, bonus fact, when US scientists tested a prototype of an atomic bomb in the New Mexico desert in about 1945, the explosion turned the sand in the immediate area of the impact into glass.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So you're saying that like the bomb created so much pressure and heat in that immediate area that it actually crystallized the sand instant. Oh my God.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, just remind me to not stand directly at the blast site of an atomic bomb.
but fortunately, there are, of course, easier and less extreme ways of making glass. But all of them, as you'd imagine, need immense amounts of heat.
So basically, I just need to be around because I'm so hot.
Okay, so in a commercial...
I didn't write that, by the way, listeners. Just for full clarification.
Okay, so in a commercial glass plant, sand is mixed with waste glass from recycled collections, soda ash, which is sodium carbonate, and limestone, calcium carbonate, and heated in a furnace.
So waste glass, sand, soda ash, and limestone. Why all of these things if you can make it from just sand?
Okay, so soda reduces the sand's melting point, which helps, as you'd imagine, to save energy during manufacturing. So they don't have to bring the sand up to a temperature that's so high that it's going to be extremely, extremely
costly and difficult.
Costly and difficult, just, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it has an unfortunate throwback. So although the soda reduces the sand's melting point, it produces a kind of glass that would dissolve in water.
That would be the most inconvenient glass of water of all time. Worst windows of all time. The sunroof on your car, absolutely
pint
bollocks.
Glasses.
Yeah. Oh my God, well, that is just, imagine you pick a pint glass up off the bar and you go to fill it with Guinness and it melts in your hands.
I know,
like your
tragic
dreams flowing through your fingers.
Oh. I know, so bleak. So anyway, the limestone is added to stop that happening and the end product is called soda lime silica glass. It's the ordinary glass that we see all around us.
And then when it's molten, it's moulded into the shapes that we need.
Once the sand is melted, it's either poured into moulds to make bottles, glasses and other containers, or floated, which means that it's poured on top of a big vat of molten tin metal to make perfectly thin, flat sheets of glass for windows.
I never knew that's how they made windows. I thought that they kind of rolled them or something. So they pour them on like big vats of molten tin.
Yeah, so imagine a massive container of liquid tin.
I'm
that
look
when
up videos of that.
You put
yeah.
the glass on top of it, it just flattens it in a perfectly flat sheet.
Glass.
Yeah, yeah. And then unusual glass containers are still sometimes made by blowing them. A gob, which is kind of like a lump of molten glass, is wrapped around an open pipe, which is slowly rotated. Air is blown through the pipe's end, causing the glass to blow up like a balloon. With skillful blowing and turning, all kinds of amazing shapes can be made.
Do you know what? There's a place just off Venice. It's an island where they make the finest blown glass in the world. I forget what it's called, but if you type in Venice glass blowing, you'll see. And they make all these incredible, incredible like glass sculptures and everything.
Yeah, because
like
they blow and twist and poke. And yeah, it's incredible.
Even, like there's actually like some of the physical characteristics of glass are absolutely insane. I've always wanted to try it.
I know.
Just because it looks satisfying. And they make it look so easy. If you watch somebody who's good at blowing glass try to blow glass, it looks as easy as just breathing. Like it's, and then when you see videos of people, you know, like who are invited in to blow glass trying to blow it, they inevitably just make a mess on the floor. They just make a lump of like molten glass. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So much respect. If you're a glass blower and you're listening to this, send us a message and I will send you a care package of 3 cans of beer.
Wow, Marcus. If you send us back blown glass. But
yeah, you need to include evidence that you're a glass blower.
Yeah. You can't just say.
10,000 people send back just, I'm a glass blower. 30,000 cans later.
So glass makers as a whole use a slightly different process depending on the type of glass they want to make. Usually other chemicals are added to change the appearance or the properties of the finished glass. For example, iron and chromium based chemicals are added to molten sand to make a kind of green tinted glass, like the kind of glass you would have seen in your stained glass windows when you were a choir boy.
Okay, when I was a choir boy, just hammering that home. So how do they go about actually strengthening glass? Like, you know, say oven proof glass, which I suppose is kind of just like slightly thicker glass, you know, has a higher boiling point or melting point. But then what about like bulletproof glass? Like, I said, do you know, like, early bulletproof glass? I saw a video of this the other day. Like, when it was invented and whatever, like, in the 1950s or something. They used to, like, as a sales pitch, just hold a pane of it and have people shoot at them.
Jeez.
Like, you wouldn't get that past your HR department.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But anyway, so the how to threaten glass is kind of, there's different ways to do it. Oven-proof borosilicate, which is kind of widely sold under the trademark Pyrex, which we all know, is made by adding boron oxide to the molten mixture. And then, moving on from that, like you said about bulletproof glass, it's made from a sandwich, sort of, our laminate.
Bulletproof glass is made from a sandwich.
Our laminate of many layers of glass and plastic bound together.
I got really excited when you said that. Just, I thought that, you know, like regular glass is made out of melted sand, but then bulletproof glass is made out of melted sandwich.
Sandwich.
I was like, wow! Does the world's wonders know no bounds? Just like people in the bulletproof glass factory being like, here, PJ, will you throw another BLT into the vat?
And then those people, PJ, would be called a sand witch.
Oh.
The sand witch turns the sand into sand. Okay. We're...
Can you imagine you went into a pub and got a toasty and they overheated it and they just handed you back bulletproof glass? That would be, you know what? I'm just imagining like a giant George Foreman toasted sandwich maker just with, like, you know, with glass inside.
Do you know what? I've watched a video and it's actually not too much more
really?
Different than that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
So anyway,
what a time to be alive.
What a time to be
on
alive.
On so many accounts. Do you know what? Like, glass is honestly, it's cool. It's one of those things that you use every single day and you probably take a little bit for granted, but it's awesome. Actually, isn't it used for Wi-Fi?
You're correct.
We did an episode on how Wi-Fi works and it's all through like tiny little optical fibers, which are glass, aren't they?
Absolutely. So when you check for Insta likes over breakfast, speed of light internet data zips to your home through optical fibres, which you said, of course, Marcus, are in actual fact glass. At the same time, when you're sitting down to eat your breakfast, checking your likes, sunlight streams through the heat reflective windows that are keeping you nice and cool or nice and toasty inside. When you're reading all those comments on your latest Insta pic, you're reading them through the glass LCD panel on your laptop or the toughened Gorilla Glass of your smartphone. Literally, in 5 minutes in the morning, you are surrounded by and using so much glass.
You know when they say, like, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones?
Yes.
What I've learned from this episode is everything is glass.
Everything is glass.
So much glass.
We use so much glass, and there are loads more places you'll find it hiding. From the bulbs and thermometers and the cement fillings in teeth to the fiberglass hulls of boats, the sandpaper we use to decorate, so many uses.
Glass really is the superhero of the household material. Any facts to end this episode?
We sure do. Right. So, we did an episode on plastic recently and why plastic is so bad, and it scared not only Marcus and I, but it scared a lot of you. Good news about glass, it's 100% recyclable, as we said, and can be recycled endlessly without lasting quality or without lasting purity. That's why, where possible, you should always buy jars instead of plastic bottles.
It's amazing that it can be endlessly recycled.
Endlessly recycled.
Endlessly. Just like, that's amazing. Like, that is honestly superhero level.
As opposed to buying something that's one use, disposable.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have another fact?
I do indeed. So this one is great. You're going to like it.
Okay.
Many glass making terms have entered our language. For example, shut your gob. This refers to a molten lump of glass, which is called a gob, like we chatted about earlier.
Yeah.
So shut your gob refers to that. Another example derives from when a glass blower used a tube to blow the glass into a shape, which made his cheeks go very, very large, like when you would blow. Now someone with a big mouth is told they have a big gob.
So, but any colloquialism of gob comes back to glass blowing.
Yep.
So shut your gob is actually just like close your tube.
Close your tube.
And a big gob is because, like, you had the cheeks.
Yeah, you had a big mouth when you were blowing glass, when you were blowing
right,
a gob.
Okay. I actually use both of those phrases on the regular. That's, wow.
I know, they're good, aren't they?
Yeah, took those for granted. One more.
Okay. One more. When glass breaks, the cracks move at a speed of about 3,000 miles per hour.
What?
3,000 miles per hour.
Glass is class.
In the show with Tazimarcus, 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 in the show with Tazimarcus.
Glass is class. What a way to end the episode, Marcus.
Glass is. There's just so much to it. So much to
so
it.
So much to it.
It's just, oh my God, it's smashing, cracking episode.
Oh, Come on.
I'd think of more, but it's a bit of a pain.
Oh,
that's sheet. I can't bottle it up.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna, guys. Thank you.
Don't put this one in the jar. Yeah. All good. Okay.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of In the Share with Taz and Marcus. If you are new to the podcast, then good news, we have over 70 episodes answering every question you could imagine in the time it takes you to shower.
If you like the podcast and you want to help us grow it and you want to support us, which hopefully you do, please tell your friends or your colleagues or someone in your family about In the Share with Taz and Marcus. Podcasts spread hugely through word of mouth, and you would be very nice to do that.
If you felt like sharing one of our episodes on any of your social media, or as Marcus said, around your office or to your friends and family, it would be much appreciated. And likewise, if you have a question that you would like us to answer, you can send the question to intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com.
Alternatively, you can get us on all of your social medias. Just look up at In the Shower Pod on Instagram and Twitter, or just search for In the Shower with Taz and Marcus on Facebook. Couldn't be easier. We'll be there. There's options to send us messages. You can follow us. You can share it to your page. We can all have a good time using the power of social media.
Social media. Okay, so before we reveal what next week's question is, a few thank yous to wrap up the episode.
Big thank you to Alan and Paddy and all the crew in the Headstuff Podcast Network. Couldn't do what we do without you guys. So thumbs up, you big sexy legends.
Thanks so much, Flo Robinson, for our cover art.
Dave Gertzman, thank you all the way in the States creating our theme song. Thank you very much, Dave, for creating both our theme songs.
Yeah.
Check him out on Instagram, Dave's Recordorama. Top dude.
And finally, thank you so much to you for dedicating your ears to us for the last 15 or so minutes. You look great today.
I hope the assimilation of our voices into your head have made your day a little bit better.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, next week's question is one that actually melted my brain.
What is it, Marcus?
It comes from Joey Carolyn in Dublin. And it's, does space end?
That episode is going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
And in this world, where even the air is tainted.
Well, that wraps up the show. See you next week on the Wednesday morning after on CKUT.
De célébrer son anniversaire au resto. Elle y a pensé toute la semaine. Elle a invité ses amis. Elle a acheté une nouvelle robe. Elle s'est rendue au resto. Elle n'a pas pu rentrer dans le resto. Elle a dû ranger sa nouvelle robe. Elle n'a pas pu voir ses amis. Et elle y a pensé toute la semaine.
N'attendez pas de frapper un mur. Faites-vous vacciner. Le passeport vaccinal est maintenant exigé pour fréquenter certains lieux publics. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
McGill University's fourth annual Queer History Month is taking place this October. Events kick off Wednesday, September 29th from 5 to 7 p.m. with Return of the Rainbow, a homecoming event for current and past students, staff, and faculty who identify with 2SLGBTQIA communities. The featured keynote presentation is taking place from 6 to 7:30 p.m. on Friday, October 1st with entomologist Jessica Ware of Rutgers University. Visit the Equity at McGill webpages, www.mcgill.ca/equity, for a complete list of Queer History Month events organized by McGill's Office of the Provost and Vice Principal Academic and their partners. Queer History Month will be opened and closed by Elder Gawenodas Sedalio Fazio. The goal of McGill's Queer History Month is to raise awareness, advance education, and increase visibility of 2SLGBTQIA communities by recognizing their histories and contributions, building bridges, and bringing together McGill students, staff, faculty, and alumni, and Montreal community members.
Stuff, Robot Boy! Hello, this is the artist formerly known as Christ from the